I do see a reaching out by organizations to young leadership. I see at our board meetings of both men and women's and women's organizations, the chairmanships by younger people. They really get the opportunity if they really manifest the desire. I mean this. Now, Jeff Letwin has just come in as chair of the Holocaust Center. Young attorney, bright, committed. He also is involved in a Pittsburgh, Israel, business chamber of commerce kind of thing. He gave a report at the board meeting yesterday. Jimmy Rudolph has been chairing the campaign and doing a wonderful job, pulling in all kinds of young people. I could name name after name after name. If they care, they're there, and they're utilized. But they, in turn, surely make the point that they came from homes where it mattered and where they saw this, and therefore, you know, Shirley, it is true that more and more families have two parents working and have and needing to work because of the the economics of the situation. But if all the people who didn't work and who do have time would come through in the community, we'd be very rich in resources. Mm-hmm. There are still plenty around who don't work or have given up working. You know, 50s and 60s and 70s used to be old. 60 and 70 used to be old 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. Today it's young, and there's so much to give when you're that age if you want to do it.
Except that most people who, young women anyway, mm-hmm. who stop working, mm-hmm. really, from my meetings with them and experience, is that they want to be with their children. They feel...
But by that time, their children are grown.
Well, some of them are young.
Some of them are young because they've started their families later.
Right. Yeah. And
that's
they want to have the pleasure after so many years of being with their children. So they're not ready to
run. You can do both.
Well, that's...
I think I'm a case in point. Mm-hmm. You can do both. Here I am as a grandma getting my almost 10-month-old grandchild next week. And I've traveled and I go and I do. You can do both if you're not working. You can do both. You can perhaps, maybe you have to be a little more selective in the way you spend your time. Now, that comes to it. How you spend your time and how you balance your time. Mm-hmm. That's really what it comes around to. Mm-hmm. And I'm used to doing a lot in a day.
And some people obviously can't,
either
can't or don't want to keep up with that kind of
pressure
schedule.
And schedule. It's
no
hectic. It's hectic.
Yeah.
That's true. I these last 2 days I've had 3 meetings each day.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know. So there's no question.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned the various places you've lived and the neighborhoods, and I wonder, as you have spiced up the last 4 interviews, if you could perhaps relate to us some anecdotes that you remember either of your own experience certainly, and or with people here in Pittsburgh that you recall some humorous or maybe not so humorous incidents.
Well, when we moved into our very large, rather elegant home on Beacon Street, we bought from the family, I know they're both deceased, Horace Moorhead Jr. He was the secretary treasurer of Gulf Oil Corporation. And his wife was a Honeywell from Minneapolis, Honeywell. Mm-hmm. They were really the 400 of society. And if I tell you, the interior of that house looked antediluvian. The kitchen was archaic. The powder room had a large screw sticking out of a very sensitive spot. Uh-huh. My husband and I laughed at how did they live with this. They were lovely, lovely, elegant people. They just didn't give a hoot about their house. They had a large family. Now, I was doing television work then, and I had just purchased with my earnings a secondhand Plymouth, a little old black Plymouth, my first car that I bought myself. And I felt so proud, I had done that by myself. Paul was just beginning to practice don't remember whether he had gone into his own practice at that point or not, but it was a transitional period economically. And Paul or somebody said to us, Gertrude, how can you pull up in that driveway on that magnificent block? Judge Drew lived there. The Mays, Herbert May and Marjorie Merriweather Post May, were our immediate neighbors. Very, very WASP street. How can you pull up in that rinky-dinky secondhand black Plymouth? So my husband, who has a very droll and impish sense of humor, said, well, she'll just be the new neighbor, the eccentric Mrs. Kaplan, who likes old cars. I must say, we weren't received that warmly by our immediate next-door neighbor. Mm-hmm. We were not. The Willies were next door. They had no children. They never greeted us. Penna Drew and Judge Drew were wonderful. They were very warm. But we did not get a terribly cordial reception. And we never had any exchange with these people who are our immediate neighbors on the right. Now, younger Jewish couples moved in across the street. We were friendly and we carpooled and the children played. That became the beginning of that street becoming Doctor's Road. Mm-hmm. After we moved in, several other younger physicians and their families moved in. Jay Silverberg, Dr. Sidney Kaufman, the surgeon. There was just an influx of them over the years after. Then Labe Kessler and his wife moved into the Willie's house next door. Literally, though, when we were leaving it, we lived there close to 20 years, loved it. Loved the street, loved the location. So that was interesting. You're talking about humorous vignettes with neighbors. I must tell you something. It makes me think about this. I guess I have been not that neighborly. Mm-hmm. I haven't had the time. Mm-hmm. When I always said, and I may have said this before, I had two lives while my children were growing up. My communal life from 8:30 to 3:30 while they were in school, and my life with them from 3:30 on when they came home from school. And though my neighbor from across the street, who is now an executive at the University of Pittsburgh, Ann Levinson, would come over occasionally with her children and we would visit for 5 or 10 minutes. She was busy, I was busy, she was back at school, I was doing all these. One of my neighbors, in fact, was a doctor's wife who said her little boy, who was then 3 or 4, always used to say to her, let's go visit the president. He remembered that I was president of Ladies' Hospital Aid Society when his mother was our editor for the hospital aider, and she used to come over with material to go over for the paper. And he used to say, and he was a tiny thing, let's go visit the president. So take me to your leader. The same is true here. I'm not, time-wise, mm-hmm. able to be that neighborly or leisurely. We have friends in the building whom we see, but as my children have said, when our daughter called this weekend to report on her weekend, and we weren't home, well, we kept leaving notes and messages on the machine. Mother, where are you at 7:30 in the morning? Where are you at 6 o'clock at night? You know. But I think we're grateful. Paul and I are both grateful that our lives have been this way.
When you grew up in Oakland,
yes.
Your parents lived in Oakland.
Yes, yes.
Did they move eventually to Squirrel Hill?
Yes, yes, uh-huh. Yes.
Was that seemingly for, at that time, an upward move?
Well, let me say this. We had a lovely, good point you're making. We had a lovely big house on Dawson Street in Oakland, which I adored, 3284 Dawson, which we lost in the Depression. My parents mm-hmm. lost it. Couldn't keep up the mortgages. Mm-hmm. And we rented then in transition, and then my parents bought a little house on Niagara Street in Oakland, where I was during my high school and college years. Then when, I lived there all through college when Paul courted me in that little house on Oakland Street. And to this day, I have guys I dated in college say, I remember I used to pick you up on that little street in Oakland. It was right near Isley's. It was around the Niagara
yes.
Street is adjacent to where the famous mm-hmm. Isley's.
Okay.
And, you know, we'd get the nickel and the 10-cent ice cream cone. Oh, right. that was a meeting place that were yay big. Mm-hmm. I had one of my swains, was a wonderful man, became a very, very big industrialist. I never knew he saw me that way. He used to live in Mars, PA, and he used to come through the boulevard, and he used to say, "I'll pick you up, Gert, and give you a ride to school." He did it often. Then he graduated in 39, and he came back to propose to me, which I was surprised at. I had some interesting social experiences. I was the famous football player Marshall Goldberg's girlfriend in my freshman year at college, and he was the big man on campus. And he used to stretch his big girth out on our floor at home, on that living room floor, and play pickup sticks with my sister. Talking about vignettes and anecdotes. I also had a swain whom I didn't know about. Am I digressing too much
here? No, this is great.
You want to hear this? Are these the anecdotes you want to hear? I had a fabulous history professor. His name was James Reed. He was a disciple of the famous professor Dr. Geis at Pitt in history. And he was my history prof in my freshman year. In my freshman year at Pitt, I was very active in Pitt players. I had the lead in Brother Rat. I had the lead in Our Town. And so my picture was in the Pitt News. I had his class after lunch. Now, I tutored a blind boy all through college. I did not, I worked. I was on the, the NRA program?
Mm-hmm.
New Deal. You know,
right.
I had a scholarship to Pitt. A four-year honor scholarship, but I also earned all my own money. I was totally independent, and I worked all through high school and college. I talk about time. Carried a double major and graduated in 3.5 years at age 19 and a half. So I was teaching at 19, you know, teaching high school at 19. Okay. Jim Reed was a wonderful, brilliant intellectual. And I used to have the misfortune to go to his class after eating lunch, and the fatigue of the morning and the pressure of my existence, I would sometimes doze off. And I'll never forget his saying, now one day my picture's in the news, and he's saying, if Sarah Bernhardt will wake up, we'll see if she's been listening. Now, 3 years later, I was member of senior court at Pitt. I was the Jewish woman who was involved in campus. I was the Jewish nominee for senior queen. I was the Jewish woman who was Hall of Fame. Had time for all this. I don't know where, but I did. When we had a reception for freshmen, and we had a marvelous dean of women, Thurse Agnes Amos, who used to say, this is how I learned to find out what people's names were. If you don't find out their name at the beginning of the reception line, we won't know their name when they get to the end of the reception line. So I, to this day, say, will you spell your name for me? And at the end of that, Thurse Ames. She preceded Helen Poole Rush. Thurse Agnes Amos. Oh, she was a martinet. And Helen Poole Rush, to whom I see to this day, who's in her 90s, took over the dean of women's role. Wonderful, wonderful, sweet lady who was real mousy under Dean Amos and came into her own after she took the role. Anyway, Professor Reed was in the receiving line. And he lived in Oakland on Niagara Street. He came over to me and he said, how are you going home, Gertrude? And we were in formal clothes. And I said, oh, I'll take a bus. He said, may I take you home? I said, that would be wonderful. So we got in the car and he said, how about a cup of coffee? Now, speaking of old spots, there was a famous Waffle House called Gammons. Have you ever heard of Gammons?
I haven't.
All right. Gammons on Forbes Avenue in Oakland. Mm-hmm. It was a landmark. There was one in East End and
yes.
There was one in Oakland. And Gammons was the favorite spot where you had coffee after a date, and they were famous for their waffles and their pancakes, Gammons waffles. He said, let's go into Gammons. And I said, that will be fine. And we sit down and we begin to chat. Now, this has been my professor, period. And he takes out his wallet, and he flips over his wallet, and he says, these are the three women in my life. And he shows me a picture of his mother, his sister, and that picture of me that had been in the Pitt News.
Mm-hmm.
You sure you want this?
That's funny.
Well, he subsequently indicated that he cared very much for me and wanted to marry me. And I came home, of course, had a very close relationship with my mother, told her obviously about this. The next day, roses and candy arrived.
Oh my.
I was as flabbergasted as you are with your mouth open now. I never dated non-Jewish men. I felt that I just wasn't going to start. I had friends among them, but I just felt that I was going to marry a Jewish man. There was no question. And I had to make the decision right when he asked me to a dinner at the faculty club. And that was the point at which I made the decision that I could really become very fond of this man. He was brilliant, he was handsome, he was wonderful. So, we have digressed into my social life.
Okay.
Well, let's go back to oral history.
Okay.
No, that's fine. When I asked for anecdotes, I didn't necessarily mean only with your next door neighbor. So that's fine, because you have touched upon some personal topics as well when you've talked about your children and so forth. So
right.
This is, as far as I'm concerned, not inappropriate.
Thank you. That's sweet of you.
Not at all. Unless you would like to say more on this topic, there is one organization that you have alluded to numerous times in these interviews, but haven't expanded upon to any great extent, but obviously you've had some influence, and I kept having it in my notes to talk about, is the Pittsburgh Dance Council.
Oh, yes.
And your work with it.
Oh, yes.
If you would, please.
I don't want to repeat myself. Dance Council was an outgrowth of the inspiration of Jean Beeman. Did I talk about her at all?
No.
All right. Jean Beeman was the head of the, it was called, physical education department at the University of Pittsburgh. But she was the dance teacher, and she had been a dancer. There was no separate theater arts or dance arts program. Jean incorporated into phys ed. When Robbie came back from the University of Indiana in Bloomington for a year and became a member of Jean's dance department, she had, Robbie being our younger daughter, had probably the most extensive formal dance training Jean had ever had as a student, and she was thrilled to have her. And she taught her her own choreography of Margot Fonteyn's Ondine, for a special program that the dance department did for the University of Pittsburgh. They also did the Shakers, a very interesting program about the sect, the Shakers, mm-hmm. the religious group. The reason I mention all this is in the process of this, I got to know Jean very well. Jean was concerned about dance education and dance in America. And she got me involved as a volunteer with another woman volunteer, Yolanda Marino. Yolanda was a professional with Pittsburgh Ballet Theater, but worked as a volunteer here. There were several other people, Amy Kelman, who is a librarian at Carnegie Library, but who loved dance, Janet Lubick, who is a fashion person, Ruth Westerman, who is a dance teacher part-time. All these people cared about dance in Pittsburgh, which was very limited in terms of exposure. So Jean wanted to organize the first regional college dance festival here in Pittsburgh, and Yolanda and Jean and I became the chair people of that event. And we had college dance teachers, educators, dancers, the famous Hanya Holm, the famous Paul Sanisardo, Paul Taylor, came to this. We had a weekend. We hosted a buffet here for a lot of these people at that time. Out of this whole very successful festival emerged the rudiments of the dance council. We did not have a dance council. And Jean and Yolanda became our first executive director. Jean was a driving force as the professional who involved all the other dance teachers. I was very involved as a volunteer who loved dance, had a daughter into it, and brought in a tremendous number of other people. And I served on that first dance council board for many years. I became a vice president. They wanted me to go beyond that, but here again, I was in other very important community roles and couldn't take that on. Mm-hmm. That has grown to be a very significant part of the cultural community of Pittsburgh. We struggled at the beginning. I chaired, for instance, the Alvin, matinee that we did with Alvin Ailey Dance Company for all of the city and county schools to bring them in, to bus them in. Now, that was enormously successful, but it took a tremendous amount to get the schools to permit their kids to come in and so forth for this, and to arrange the funding and the sheer technical aspects of it. The first years, the Dance Council took a bath. Took tremendous losses with companies like Martha Graham. Hmm. When we brought Martha Graham to Pittsburgh the first time, we had a very sparse audience. When we brought Elliot Feld, who is a genius, we had a terrible audience. We couldn't fill the evening with, the only company that we could sell out at the beginning was Alvin Ailey.
Hmm. To what do you attribute that to?
You mean initially?
Yeah.
A lack of audience understanding, a lack of appreciation for dance. So, you know, to this day you'll hear men say, I don't like ballet, I don't like modern. And the dance world has cultivated audiences, the local dance world. The Dance Council, then, you see, the corporate structure, the dance organizations then were low on the totem pole of giving by corporations. Mm-hmm. It was symphony. It was, the ballet went through this same thing. Pittsburgh Ballet Theater took years till it attained the level of respect, reputation, achievement it has today. Mm-hmm. And I regret that I never went on their board. I was invited time after time, but I was so busy with Dance Council, I felt it might be a conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. I've been invited to go on the Public Theater Board. I love theater. And I'm sorry I didn't. I probably, to this day, am sorry I didn't go on it. I was on the board of a very short-term but very interesting group called the American Ibsen Theater that was in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. That was very esoteric, performed at the Eddy Theater, the Chatham Eddy Theater, but too limited in its appeal and too limited in scope to survive. But we did some fabulous things. Mm-hmm. The late Charles Ludlam, the transvestite, performed as Hedda Gabler in Ibsen's Hedda Gabler at the Ibsen Theater in a tour de force. It was a performance I shall never forget. Mm. And maybe we had 50 people. Now, look at Dance Alloy as a case in point. Yeah. We have, Paul and I, supported Dance Alloy from the beginning. I would go to Dance Alloy performances at the Eddy Theater where there were 25 people. They're now filling the Fulton Theater. So there are many things. The tenacity of those who love dance, both professionals and volunteers, in continuing. The involvement of the corporate world bringing money in. It's been an exciting, now here, this is really just in the last 20, 25 years you see this.
Yeah, I was going to ask you in its beginnings about how long ago that was.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
About 2025,
well, I can tell you, Robbie was... Yeah, I'd say 20, 25 mm-hmm. years ago, exactly.
That mm-hmm. they involved, became involved?
That the organization came into being.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you asked me that. I hadn't thought about any of this for a long time.
Well, I am particularly interested in dance and was so pleased to have such choices.
Uh-huh. Look at what goes on now.
Came here
I hope you saw the ballet have. Last weekend. It was magnificent.
I did not. But some of the things that we eliminate are for economic reasons.
I know.
If it were up to me, I would have tickets to all of these things, series.
Uh-huh.
But what we can go to is absolutely outstanding.
Outstanding choices. You're absolutely right.
Shirley,
are you finished with the dance?
Yes, I am.
You've been so active. Okay. And as we talked earlier, before we started this, there's a giving over time. Do you see yourself as continuing active? You know, you're one of the few people who, at your stage of life, are still giving almost full time.
Not
volunteer.
Quite. Well, bless your heart. I do pick and choose, and I don't take year-round commitments.
Mm-hmm.
I was asked to chair the Three Rivers Shakespeare Festival Board 2 years ago. And even though that's less demanding in terms of, it's an advisory board, still I felt it wouldn't be fair because we are away so much. So I am a vice chairperson. Mm-hmm. And when I'm in town, I'm very much involved in the executive committee and the board and the proceedings and fundraising. But I do not feel, I never have felt that I could just be a name on a letterhead, which is why I never responded to the public theater a request for my curriculum vitae and so forth. I just don't feel that's fair. Needless to say, all these board positions imply financial support. And more and more they imply more financial support, which is all right. I think you have to recognize that.
Right.
And those board members who don't are really not being fair. They're remiss. I happened, without knowing you were going to ask this question, to refer to the fact that I just took a job, again, long-range planning for the Chronicle Board. I was editor-in-chief of my high school newspaper at Shenley High. I don't know that I ever alluded to that.
You mentioned it.
I love that work, and I love, and to this day, I proofread automatically when I read an article. I loved the work because, you know, it's journalism and communication is part of language, and language is so important. So I was very pleased when they asked me to do this. It means board status, but it's the kind of thing that I can control the time involvement, if that answers your question. When they asked me at Federation to do these spot jobs, as I took Lion of Judah chairmanship this year, I was able to control. It was like 3 or 4 months, and it was done. I still take chairmanships as a life trustee of Hospital Aid. Now I'm chairman of the policy committee now. I've been chairman of the student aid. I'm still very involved in student aid at Federation, Central Scholarship Committee, which I love. But I'm not in the leadership. I'm not the chair, which means that younger people who deserve to do it are in command. The fact that I'm on the Survey and Evaluation Committee of Council. I said to Eileen Lane, who chairs this, Eileen, are you sure you want me to be on? Yes, yes, yes. When you're here, we want you there. We want your input. I'm very proud and grateful that this is the attitude of younger leadership.
Yeah, but how do you see yourself?
As continuing.
As continuing, yeah. Or...
on this lesser level of involvement.
Mm-hmm.
On this lesser level of involvement, I do see it. As long as I have the energy and the mental capacity, I mean, you've got to be very grateful that you have both of those facets.
Because it's,
I think it keeps my juices churning. That's the phrase I use.
Yeah, right.
It keeps
That's
my
a good
juices
way.
Churning.
I think your decision to be selective, not only in what you do, but as you faced it, you know, these, not the ongoing, but the shorter term.
Spot jobs.
Yes, is an excellent piece
compromise.
Of advice. Yes, to younger people as they grow older, because that you can focus in for a shorter period of time, and you're either not just taking up space or losing
energy.
Exactly.
The other possibility is being there as a almost consultant position, so that these younger people
this is the
get
way they
something
use me.
From you.
This is the way they use me, definitely in a consultant capacity. And I get many a phone call from younger people. And I say this is, it's good for me, and I hope it's good for them.
Is it sometimes hard to give up that potential for being a leader yet?
No.
Because once you've been...
Yeah.
You know,
there,
but
and
I,
you know the reins, it may be difficult to watch somebody else fumble.
I see inefficiency, and I see duplication of energy, and I see superficiality of work, but that's always been the case. And, of course, I will say this. It's interesting. I don't know if I said this to you before. I always used to say when I worked really on a leadership level, like CRC, and I was demanding of the professionals. I don't know if I mentioned that Lou Borman came in and he was new, and he's now Mayor Maslov's executive secretary, and he says that Gert Kaplan taught me everything I know about preparing an agenda. I always used to say I expect as much from them as I expect from myself, and I resent mediocrity in professional direction. I always work well with professionals if they gave as much as I give. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a cliche, but
no.
I mean that.
No, and no. I feel, and it sounds like you do too, that it doesn't matter whether it's a volunteer effort or a work effort. In other words,
exactly.
The attitude
the
of
the
professionalism.
Commitment.
The commitment of quality
mm-hmm.
to quality
mm-hmm.
is there.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't agree with you more. Fortunately, we still in the Jewish community find leadership of quality. It's incredible.
Yes.
Sometimes you don't. You go through peaks and cycles. I've seen times in all of our organizations where leadership has been less than quality on the level we'd like. And then somehow the institution withstands it and comes up, survives, comes up again.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
interesting. It's cyclical.
Yeah.
Leadership
mm-hmm.
is cyclical.
Mm-hmm.
Look at our country today.
Mm-hmm.
Look at our political spectrum.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, that was what I was mainly interested in. This has been an excellent, excellent interview situation throughout. I really
Thank
mean
you
this.
Very
and
much.
We've learned a great deal, and I hope that the people who come after us to read this are going to get a much
I
deeper
hope,
picture.
I have given... a broader spectrum of background, and you've certainly piqued my recollections by your questions.
And your recollection is fantastic. I must tell you the details.
Really?
We were talking about this recall that you have of details.
It's not common.
No kidding.
It really isn't. People forget names, dates, places. They know they did the event, but not to the with the details.
Well, maybe it's because I'm still current.